From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. About a dozen city and borough of Juneau employees are working from home this week after two of their coworkers tested positive for COVID-19. During the city's weekly COVID-19 response update on Tuesday, Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove said the city is working with health consultants to track who the two borough workers may have come in contact with before they tested positive for the virus.
They keep work logs, and we're very confident that no members of the public encountered those individuals. There are a couple of other employees who may.
Cosgrove says the cases appear to be unrelated and that the two employees don't appear to have caught the virus from each other, but they both worked in City Hall. Because it's unclear which other employees may have been in close contacts or have been exposed, Cosgrove says city officials decided to ask a group of people to telework for the week.
Until we can make sure that there isn't something going on that we're not aware of. We've asked those folks to just work from home if they can and get some follow-up testing. So they're not close contacts, but they were in the building on the floor, and we just wanted to make sure that we don't inadvertently create a situation.
Employees who are working from home have also been asked to get follow-up testing. In other local news, Southeast Alaska's largest Native cultural gathering won't be held this year. Celebration traditionally draws thousands of participants to Juneau to honor Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian dances, language, and song. It's normally held every 2 years, but the coronavirus pandemic forced the 2020 event to move online, and organizers hope to hold a gathering this year. Now the in-person event tentatively planned for June has been called off. That's because of the COVID-19 vaccine is not yet available for those under 16. The organizers, the Alaska Heritage Institute, said in a statement today. And SHI's vice chair, Albert Kukish, says the board of trustees didn't want to put children at risk.
I mean, we're talking 5,000 people here to come into one place in Juneau, and we don't know whether we can bring those kind of people together. It might be irresponsible if we try to do that if the pandemic was still raging.
Kukesh says the board will revisit the issue to decide whether it's safe to hold a celebration event in 2022. And Alaska legislators opened their session on Tuesday amid a deadly pandemic and huge budget shortfall. But if you think their job is tough, consider for a moment the plight of the lobbyist. They're paid for their access to and intelligence on what's happening in the Capitol. But as Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, they're banned from the building this year.
Frank Bickford is one of those guys you can always see around the Capitol, and as lawmakers gaveled in Tuesday, he normally would have been there walking the halls. Instead, he was in his office, getting ready to draft a sort of heads-up note to the legislature.
You know, we're here. Feel free to stop by. If you have any questions, feel free to call us, and we're COVID-friendly.
Bickford's office is a few blocks down the street from the Capitol, right next to a barber shop. And the office is set up a little differently this year, namely with plexiglass shields in front of his and his lobbying partner's desks. Bickford, whose clients include Walmart, Verizon, and the Diamond Center, says his setup will allow him to meet with lawmakers and their aides in his own space.
I think with the mask and the plexiglass and the sanitizer stuff, I think we're good. I don't want to have more than two people in the office at a time, that's for sure. But yeah.
Welcome to the pandemic version of Alaska's annual political process. Lawmakers and staff are being subjected to regular COVID-19 testing as a condition of entering the Capitol, but the public, lobbyists included, are not even allowed in the building. Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens, who ran a committee charged with setting legislative rules, says a number of lobbyists lobbied for an exemption.
They have a job to do, and they have clients, and there are several suggestions that maybe make sure they were tested and paid for on their own. But we just thought that, and it seems to me true, that we should not be allowing lobbyists in the building if we don't allow the general public in the building.
That may be, but the general public doesn't have clients paying them large sums of money to keep track of legislative developments or affect policy change. And for some lobbyists, in-person interactions are crucial. Grabbing a quick face-to-face chat with an aide on their way out of an office, or picking up on a legislator's grimace or sigh in a committee hearing. So how are lobbyists navigating this new socially distant landscape?
Yeah, I hope they'll be reading my texts.
Unlike some of his colleagues, lobbyist Jordan Marshall says his style has never really been to just hang out at the Capitol. He tries to keep his interactions with legislators precise and specific. He says the lack of access is an undeniable loss, but he also points out that the Alaska legislature has good technologies that allow electronic engagement. Marshall, who lobbies for tribal health groups, cities, and boroughs, says he plans to make do with phone calls, emails, and texts.
As much as I'd like to continue as business as normal, I think until it's my turn to get vaccinated, until the vast majority of folks who want to get a vaccination can get one, just feels uncomfortable to me to try and create face-to-face opportunities.
If this already sounds like a difficult enough predicament, don't forget that up until Tuesday morning, neither the House nor Senate had been able to organize into majority caucuses, which means that lobbyists still didn't know who was in charge of committees or handling specific bills. Organized labor lobbyist Heidi Dragas says she's trying to set realistic expectations for the year, knowing that the pandemic isn't going to leave the legislature with a lot of room for anything but the basics.
I don't hear anyone who says, I think we're going to get a lot done this session. Nobody is, I think, trying to tackle big, lofty legislation before they gavel out.
On the plus side, the state Senate announced that it organized into a majority by midday Tuesday. The House, however, is still in a stalemate. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Yesterday, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation opened eligibility for the COVID-19 vaccine to the general population in the entire YK Delta. KYUK reporter Greg Kim documented his own experience getting the vaccine and talked to others who also received it.
There were more people at the entrance of the Bethel Hospital on Tuesday than I've seen during the pandemic. It was the first day that COVID-19 vaccines opened up to the general population, and I was one of those getting their first dose.
Coming up to a door that says COVID vaccine here.
Inside the hallway, lined up but spaced 6 feet apart in chairs, were people both young and old waiting to get their first or second dose of the vaccine. 18-year-old Ethan Sundown was a few spots ahead of me. He said he was surprised he was receiving the vaccine so early into 2021.
When I got the call to schedule, you know, I was kind of like, oh my goodness, it's here. My dose is here.
Sundown said he initially had mixed feelings about getting the vaccine, excitement along with some guilt.
It was hard for me to reconcile, you know, whether I should get this or not, considering, you know, I'm a young guy. To me, I think I'm a pretty healthy person. I'm not at risk. And so what bothered me was like, okay, are you taking somebody else's spot that might be more at risk than you?
He said he realized public health officials had already made the decision for him. Since they said it's his turn to get the vaccine, he felt comfortable receiving it. Once I got past the line in the hallway, the vaccination process was pretty simple, almost mundane. A healthcare worker asked me my name, my birthday, and whether this was my first or second dose.
All right. And do you verbally consent to receive the vaccine?
Yes.
Which arm would you like it in?
My left.
Left upper arm, Tammy?
Can you take that off?
Yeah.
I peeled off some layers and a quick prick, and it was over. I joined about a dozen people on the other side of the room who are waiting the required 20 minutes to make sure they don't have an allergic reaction. Lori Mathaler-Mullins, a Bethel-based veterinarian, also received her first dose on Tuesday. Afterwards, she said she didn't experience any side effects, only relief.
I was actually surprised how almost emotional I was getting it, because the pandemic's just been so hard, and knowing that this could help ease the pandemic and hopefully eventually bring it to a close. It was emotional.
Mathaler-Mullins added that she felt it was her duty to get the vaccine and convince others to get it as well. She and many others have been posting their vaccine experiences on Facebook to encourage others to follow their lead. It will take time for enough people to be vaccinated to allow life to return completely to normal. Experts have estimated anywhere from 70 to 90% of the population would need to be vaccinated to reach herd immunity, where the virus can't spread anymore.
That was Greg Kim from KYUK in the YK Delta, and you're listening to KTOO News in Juneau.